You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. This program may contain adult themes and nudity, and you can never go wrong with that. Speaking of always being right, views expressed on this program are those of life-experienced mechanics. Continued listening may cause addiction and, in rare cases, a rash. Discretion is advised.
A mechanic tries to fix your car. No matter if you're near or far, he'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al. Hit it.
Yeehaw!
Whoa, we're down here at the auto show, and it is beautiful. Folks are just coming in, and if you want to come and see us, we are just next to the Chrysler exhibit. Actually, we're looking at a gorgeous yellow Jeep. How are you doing, Al?
I'm doing fine. I hope the parking brake is on. They've got that thing, like, on a mountain, and it looks like it's headed towards us.
Anyways, today we're going to have an interesting show. Dave McLean is going to join us. He is the managing director of the auto show. And I have to tell you, this is a fantastic place, 650,000 square feet, 1,000 cars, and probably 100,000 folks are going to be here.
Exactly.
I have trouble parking.
No trouble, as long as you got like a big bag of dough.
Yeah, so take the electric car.
I would Uber it. I would take the TTC. Yep. That's probably the better way to go. No question about that.
Right. We're also going to be joined by Michael Roth. He is with OMVIC. He's the legal advisor for them. And we're going to talk about some legalities about purchasing a new car or a used car and what your rights are. Just before we clean off,
Trent Coleman.
And
from
that's something unique.
Clear. Crystal clear blades.
There you go.
There you go.
Blade.
I couldn't get
these
that
are wiper blades. They go up to 150 degrees, and they melt the ice off your windshield. And in case you want to do some hot dogs or marshmallows, you know, you just stick them up in the air, get them warm them up, and Bob's your uncle.
There you go. All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage, live from the Canadian National Auto Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Yeah, it'll be great. Okay, we're back here at the auto show. We're just above the escalators, and if you're on the, what is this? This is the east side of the escalator?
Yes, if
turn
you
right.
Turn right, when you get to the top of the escalator, you'll see the big Jeeps in front of you, a gorgeous yellow one, a red one.
And you know, just down the way here is the Dodge Viper, and that's the last of the Vipers they're going to build this year.
No more Vipers?
No more Vipers. No windshield Vipers, and and the Pope Mobile. There's a lot of copies of the Pope Mobile here, too.
Really?
Those Fiat 500, those things that look so ugly.
Oh, that's what you call it. Yeah, we're right at the back of the Chrysler Pavilion here. We got Dodge, we got Jeep. They've got some really hot cars, if you like.
Well, Norris was here a minute ago and told me to remind everybody, 50 years of Grand Prix racing in Canada, and they have an exhibit downstairs. They have almost, I think, 9 or 10 of these Grand Prix vehicles.
They do. There was Ferraris there. There's McLarens there. They have Jody Scheckter's car that he drove.
Last night I was reading an article by Stewart.
Uh-huh.
And he said,
you mean Jackie Stewart you're talking about?
In a series race, when he was running, there was a 2 out of 3 chance that you would not come back. Their cars were so unsafe.
Well, you remember
the tracks
were
so unsafe.
Remember we were down there and we were looking at them on Thursday.
Yeah.
And the gas tanks were actually sitting right beside the driver.
Like the
driver on either
was
side of
the
where the driver was sitting.
Yeah, he was sitting in the gas tank.
So if you got caught, if you got hit there,
no chance.
Boy, no, you're done.
No chance. So that's part of it. You can drive electric cars downstairs. There's Auto Exotica, and we're about 15 feet from a car worth about $3 million.
Yeah, exactly.
I get nervous when I get numbers like that. The hypercar from Aston Martin, absolutely gorgeous. It really is.
But there's none for sale. They're already sold, if you can believe it
or
not.
We're waiting for the arrival of Dave McLean.
And here he is.
Morning, David. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I heard you're running up the escalator, pushing people out of the way.
When you forget your badge, they wouldn't let you in.
What happened? Security is tough on the opening Saturday of the auto show.
That's true. And you know what? The crowds are coming in. I can't believe how busy we are already.
Yeah, you know what? It was a great start yesterday. It probably helped that a lot of the Toronto District School Board gave the kids the day off, so a lot of families here yesterday.
It was a long weekend,
but it was a really great opening Friday.
Yeah.
And you know, with the weather this weekend, with the content that we have here at the show, with all the manufacturers and the way that they're promoting their own investment in the show, it's everybody knows about it.
Yeah, we were talking about the features. You know, you've got the Formula One cars downstairs. You've got the electric avenues. So people can actually drive electric cars.
Yeah, you know what? There's so much misinformation about, and misconceptions about electric vehicles. So not only do you get the opportunity to learn more about electric cars and how many electric vehicles are available in the Canadian marketplace, but you also get an opportunity to test drive electric vehicles.
So you can actually drive them.
You can actually drive them right here at the show. That's
amazing. Then there's the antithesis with Muscle Car Garage there.
Well, Muscle Car, I mean, you know, Muscle Cars, whether you say it's a nostalgic feature or just something that we're still connected to, it's very important content.
Well, exactly. Especially, people, Dave, like our age, who growing up, it was like the 60s and 70s. Those
cars
were
hot. I'm so much
younger
than you are.
Well, then, and if you want to go back even further, we've got the Art in the Automobile. Sponsored by Lant, I think.
Yeah, Lant Insurance with Art in the Automobile. And that's a great connection to classic Canadian stories, right? I mean, what's great about this year is that you look for that, how do you bring classic cars in Canada together? Well, this year, with the car being 150 years old, the country being 150 years old, there's a great story to tell.
That first car was in 1867. You had one of those, didn't you, Dave?
My mother.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, Dave's job, you just see the outcome of what happens here. But there's parties to do. There's receptions to do. We had the VIP night on
Thursday night.
Yeah. I got hungover. I don't remember. But we were here way past midnight, and it was still going strong.
Yeah. Somebody asked me, they said, well, what's this all about? Why are you having this VIP night and you've got media and everything? I said, it's kind of like the Oscars of the automobile industry, really, when everybody puts their best foot forward. Manufacturers are entertaining all of their VIP clients. I mean, there's food and drink and entertainment. And it's a great way to celebrate the automobile in Canada, through the industry. And it's opened up a little bit wider than just the industry now. So it's a big night.
I think the other part of it, one of our operators said, this is the only place that the men can go shopping and the women have to stand around. And the guy can say, how do I look at this car? Does it make me look fat?
So could you ask your wife hold your toolbox? The way you're usually holding your purse at the mall?
honey, can you hold this while I check out this vehicle?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the shopping aspect is very important. I was talking to a number of different people yesterday, and they were saying, they're asking about how auto shows have changed over the years.
Yeah.
And it used to be, you roll in the carpet, you roll in the cars, you have a couple of pylons, and then people come in, and they're learning about the automobile and what the features and benefits of the automobile. But they know all that now. They've done all their research online, and they know as much about that automobile as the dealer or the dealer staff do. So it's important for the manufacturers really to present their brand experience at auto shows, because people know about the car, so they're doing a much deeper dive into the whole, say, for instance, we're in front of, Chrysler or Fiat
Jeep.
Chrysler automobiles, right? And so they want to represent their brand to consumers, because that's important. How do they get them into the channel, and how do they keep them in the channel?
Now, they have actually advisors. These aren't sales folks. These are actual advisors.
No, the show is actually licensed to sell. I mean, we have to register, but manufacturers have taken a brand neutral position. They're more about product advisors than they are having salespeople. I mean, I know that there are salespeople that get great leads here at the auto show, but they're not breaking out the forms and signing up the paperwork for the most part.
But it did in the beginning. It was started in 74 as a dealer show.
That's correct.
And it's still TADA.
That's correct. Right? Petroleum Auto Dealer Association owns the show, and it's a great relationship that they have between the Association of Dealers in Ontario and the manufacturers, and the coming together in this one event.
So I got one final question for you. Is it Dave McLean or Dave McLean?
It's Dave McLean.
But it's Mr. Clean. But it's Mr. Clean.
Oh, yes.
That's his job around here.
All right, David, thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
guys.
Okay.
This is Dave's Corner Garage, live from the Metro Toronto Convention Center and the North Building.
You're the guy on the radio, right?
I am the guy from the radio. And we'll be here from the
security!
The auto show. Help, let me out here. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. My name is Alan Gelman. I'm the apprentice, and Dave is sitting right beside me. He's many, many more years of automotive experience.
Oh, you're saying that. You're so much older than I am.
We are live from the 2017 Canadian International Auto Show, celebrating 150 years of Confederation.
Yeah, of Confederation. Okay, a couple of things in the news. First off, if you do want to get a question in, we can't take phone calls, but if you text us at the hotline, which is 905-567-5500, we can answer your questions because you can text us on the phone. Tesla, I didn't see Tesla here this year. I wonder if they are. But Tesla just brought out the new Ludicrous 100. Mm-hmm. This car will now do 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds.
Now, did they tweak it? Because some people were ticked off about it. They had bought these cars and they wouldn't actually go that fast.
So, just, you know, it's like a computer. They just refresh and refresh and refresh. There used to be a thing where the Cobra would do 0 to 100 and back to 0 in something like 14 seconds.
Well, it's important that you got to bring that thing back
well,
to stop.
This was one of these. So this Tesla thing can do it in less than just over 10 seconds.
That's amazing. We should check with Kerry Schmidt from the OPP. Maybe he knows if it
Not me, officer. It wasn't me speeding. There's news on the air that General Motors is going to be selling Opel. They've owned Opel for now 78 years. They're giving up on the German brand, and they're going to be selling it to the Peugeot Citroën Group.
It's not, and a lot of people aren't very happy about that.
No, a lot of people are not very happy about
that. Apparently, Vauxhall people in England are not too happy.
And these cars go all over the place.
But, you got to wonder. I mean, they haven't made money in years, correct?
No.
They've lost millions and millions of dollars every year. You wonder how long are you going to pour money in?
Well, you know what? Corporately, they're making money, so it doesn't matter. But the reality is the Bolt. If the deal does not go through, GM's going to close Opel and just sell the Bolt there as an electric vehicle.
Yeah, they've got them here at the show. It's a beautiful car. We were in it on Thursday night. You know what bothered me, though? The screen was so large.
Yeah.
I thought, somebody's just going to be distracted. It's almost as big as the windshield.
It is. And it's expensive. It's $45,000. The government's supposed to give you back $15,000, so it's $30,000.
Yeah, they had some sign on it that said it was for about $30,000 you could get your own.
Yeah, and then you pay your HST and all that other stuff.
I listen to you guys every week. I got to let you go, but I listen
Security!
I've got to go to Acura. They've got some nice stuff in Honda.
This is a...
I love my ready Honda.
This is our audience. We got one guy. Steve, good morning.
I'm not drooling.
Where were you this morning?
I was sleeping.
Oh, okay. Another bit of news is for you, Alan.
Yes.
They're talking about no longer having to have oil changes on a regular basis. There's a cartridge that you put into the car.
And what's
the car
happen?
Changes its own oil. The cartridge has a filter in it, and they just pull it out and walk away with it.
Wow. Nice of you to spring it on me like that. I've never seen that.
That came out last night.
Wait, hold it up so our listeners can actually see the picture.
So it's called an Addison Vulcan dry stump system. Mm-hmm. So instead of the oil being in the engine, it's sitting beside the engine. The engine's sucking the oil in.
So it can refurb its own oil after a period of time. The only issue I see, though, is, you know, in the case of a collision, you're going to have a heck of an oil spill.
What a mess.
Yeah, really.
But interesting, where the technology is going.
But you know what? I see a problem, too. Again, we're talking, you know, here down at the car show, talking about technology and how the advancements are great. But the problem is that people will automatically think that whatever they're driving will have the intelligence, this artificial intelligence, to tell them that you have a flat tire or you have no oil in your car or you're driving with your seatbelt hanging out the door. And cars don't. You know, you still have to have a little bit of brain power yourself.
You were talking about that. They were talking about people at Ford were testing all these self-driving cars. Mm-hmm. Folks were sleeping.
Actually falling asleep.
The testers were falling asleep. So now they're thinking that they're going to put no steering wheel, no brake pedal, nothing. You just get in the car like you would on a ski lift and just sit there quietly, and it just takes you where you have to go.
That's kind of scary. But that's the level 4.
Yeah.
Okay, when it comes to that.
And in reality, it's 4 or 5 years. We had a text come in, and the question was, he's got a 1999 Buick LeSabre with a remote control, and it doesn't always remote control. It doesn't start.
Well, you know what? I'd find out, first of all, if he has a second one, because you usually get two remotes.
Yeah.
And see if one works better than the
other.
Right? And also, a lot of times, there's a little light on the actual remote. Press the button and see if the light lights up. If you see it doesn't light up, you probably got a dead battery.
All righty.
And you can change them. Couple bucks.
Hear the music? We got to go.
Okay.
All right. You're coming live from the auto show. This is Dave Redinger. I'm with Alan Gelman. Steve is out there somebody bothering people. I don't know what he's doing there. And
tell him the bar's not open yet.
That's correct. Anyways, we're having a great time down here. If you've got any questions, text us at 905-567-5500, and we got to go to commercial. We'll be right back. Alrighty, we're back. My name's Dave Redinger, and I'm with Alan Gelman, and we're expecting our next guests, Mr. Michael Roth from OMVIC. OMVIC is the Ontario Motor Vehicle Industry
Council.
Exactly. And he's the regulator of the automotive industry. And just recently, they got a curbsider again. They're starting to clamp down on these guys, these private individuals.
Well, it's about time. I mean, they keep talking about curbsiders and how you shouldn't buy from them. But there's so many out there. They're so prevalent. And they're finally acting, and they're finally giving these guys jail time.
You know, I was going to say, my worst curbsider story was a guy brought in a beautiful Chevelle with a 396 motor.
Right.
I mean, the kind of car that you use, it's just gorgeous.
Hot rod, like they have downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. So we lift it up on the hoist, and the floors are made out of plywood. He bought it from a private guy at the mall, and no recourse. He had to go to court to try and get some recourse.
You know, but the plywood, it does not rust.
Yeah, it does not rust.
It's like if you see lots of body filler in car.
Yeah.
Body filler is plastic. Does not rust.
Exactly right. But anyways, there's a guy that's going to spend at least $5,000-$6,000 to repair it.
Well, exactly. And, you know, they've just updated all the rules as far as, you know, safety standard certificates.
Yeah.
And they've made it a lot tougher, which is why you have to pay more money. And we're hoping that, that a lot of these bad cars don't get through.
Okay, so yeah, okay. You know what? We can't find Michael, so we're going to move our next guest up, and his name is
Trevor Coleman. Trent Coleman from Crystal Clear Blades. They are heated.
How are you?
And now he's here, so here, put these on, then you can be able to hear us.
This is live radio.
And so, Trent, you're from Crystal Clear Wiper Blades.
Yes, I am.
Tell us all about them.
So we've developed an automatic heated wiper blade system.
Automatic, so, yes. So you don't have to turn it on.
Don't have to turn it on.
Okay.
We have a thermal control module that senses how cold it is. Sorry, that senses when the engine is running.
Right.
Individual blades actually have temperature sensors built in them. So if it's cold outside, 5 degrees or colder, they come on automatically.
Do you know one thing I looked at? I watched your YouTube video, and I was really impressed because so often, you know, when companies are selling add-ons, they go, anybody can do it in their own spare time with only three tools. But in fact, that was actually right. The installation was simple. Anybody could do it.
Absolutely. One of the things we wanted to be able to do, like you said, make it very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So we designed it so that you just connect it directly to the battery.
So right, exactly. And you said it was automatic, so you don't even have to think twice about, well, it's getting cold, I better turn them on. You don't have to do that. It works by itself. And so it knows when the car's running, so it's not going to kill your battery.
It's not going to kill your battery.
Now, you're saying also that the blade lasts longer because it's warmed up and it's not going to crack?
It is, because the blade wears out from the summer, from the sun beating down on it, dries it out. But in the wintertime, when it gets cold, it gets hard and brittle and your blade starts to chatter on your windshield.
So. Exactly right, yeah. So that's one of the advantages of it,
yes.
Right? Because the blade is warm, the ice doesn't build up, obviously, right?
Not at all.
You know, I was thinking seriously, like, you know how these guys put these blades up in the winter? They stick them up in the air?
Mm-hmm.
You stick a couple of hot dogs on there, you know, can have breakfast. What are we having this morning? Go start the car. The hot dogs will be ready in a few minutes. Yeah. It goes to 150 degrees, the blade.
150 degrees, and that's in about 2 minutes. So as soon as you start your vehicle, you'll start to see the ice thaw from the blades. And we don't just heat the squeegee part of the blade, we heat the whole blade.
Well, right, because you can build up ice there. And
yes.
You know, with most other blades, you know, you have springs inside and little arms. And as soon as they get frozen, then the rubber can't adhere to the windshield.
Can't adhere to the windshield.
No.
So what happens when the blade wears out? What do you have to
purchase? All you do, it's very, very simple. You just take it. You can change the actual squeegee itself. Just pull out a little bit and slide a new one in.
Carrie just rocked in. The question is, what's the price point of something like this?
A whole system's about $250.
And you install it yourself?
You install it yourself, and you install it in about 15 minutes, and you can replace the squeegees as you need them. So it's about $20, roughly, to replace the squeegees.
And where are you marketing this now?
You can find them in Traction. You can find them UAP.
People don't know Traction is like a Napa Auto Pro, but for trucks.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. And we sell a lot of these to truck drivers. I mean, a lot of the trucks, the windshield
are flat.
Make
a lot of sense, sure.
So they can, yeah, it's tough. It's not easy. You can't reach out and just bang the snow off your blade in a truck. You have to climb up on it.
Exactly. You can't just stick your arm out back and give it a whack. It doesn't.
No.
And you're driving constantly. It's not like you're stopping at lights every 5 minutes.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Absolutely.
But that was the beauty too, was the fact that you can change the rubber.
Yes.
I mean, the system is costly, but it works great and it's cost effective. And now the fact you can just change the rubber. It's like a regular blade.
It is like a regular blade, except that your windshield is always completely clean. It doesn't matter. You got freezing rain, you have snow, you get no buildup at all.
Okay, so we were talking about Traction. Who else carries it?
So we have Truck Pro, MechPack. Let's see, who else do we have? We have Uniselect.
You have your own website that people can go and buy them directly?
Yeah, if you want to check out some of the videos, we developed a product at the University of Toronto, the ACE facility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you see wind tunnel tests, and we throw lots of snow and ice at the vehicles. But yeah, it's a pretty neat product.
So they can actually buy them online. You just have to know what size your own blades are?
Yeah, just go to www.crystalclearblades.com.
Interesting. Do you ever see this becoming standard on cars?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're in talks with a lot of the OE makers right now, and you'll see it on the tractor trailers especially. You're going to start to see our blade show up on it when they build that vehicle.
It makes so much sense. I wonder why nobody's thought about it before.
There have been other companies that have tried, but really their systems, like you said, how easy ours is to install.
Yeah.
You had to drill a hole in your dash and put a switch. It really wasn't practical.
Okay. So there is a temperature sensor in the system that measures what, the resistance? Or?
Yeah. So what we do is we measure the actual ambient temperature outside.
Yeah. I listen to you every day.
Security!
Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. So we have temperature sensors inside the blade. So we maintain a temperature between about 40 to 65 Celsius, 130 to 150.
I got to tell you, if you watch this video, it's really neat. They got these two trucks, and they're throwing ice water all over them. One of them looks like a popsicle, and the other is. The wipers are just going back and forth like it's nobody's business.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's extreme. And we put like a whole snowstorm on that truck in about 20 minutes.
Well, the nice thing is, too, if someone gets a new car, they don't have to buy the complete package again if they don't want to, correct?
Correct.
They could buy the module and then just get the new arms, and then you're way to go.
Yeah, it's really a kit. And some of the things, we partnered with a lot of companies, like 3M, to make a fastening system so you don't see any of the wires. When they're installed, they look like they came from the factory.
I love it. Give us the website.
So it's www.crystalclearblades.com. Sorry, I talk fast.
Yeah, is there a phone number?
Yeah, you can reach that 905-874-7955.
Okay, Crystal Clear Blades, and look at the website. We'll be right back from the auto show. I'm Dave Redinger, Alan Gellman, and Trent. How'd you get a name like Trent? That's a really tough name.
I know. It's pretty unique.
I love it. All right, we'll be right back.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. We're coming to you live from the auto show. I must have seen 10,000 people walk by already.
Lots of escalators. People and families and the Volkswagen thing. You can leave your kids if you got little ones.
You can park your kids at the Volkswagen stand. They'll take care of them, I think, up to 4 hours. That gives you time to roam.
Mm-hmm.
And Norris McDonald's just walking by. We just
say hi, Norris.
Hi, Norris.
And we're just waiting for Kerry Schmidt to come by. He's giving instructions. They're going to be here at 1 o'clock, and they're going to talk about safety and all the things that the OPP do for you. So it's pretty good. All right, the car of the year, best Black Book value. Here's one for you. Subaru wins the Canadian Black Book best retained value of all.
What that means is at the end of your three-year lease or when the car gets 3-4 years old, it holds its value the closest to the original selling price than any other car.
Which means lower lease payments,
right?
Also means that maybe if it's retained its value, maybe it's a decent car at the other end.
Really, and for people to understand, the residual is what that car is worth at the end of the lease.
At the market, yeah. That's something that Jim would be talking about, residuals.
Exactly, and they have to factor that into what the cost of the lease is going to be on a monthly basis, right?
Yeah. You know what? And I see the Americans always doing that. Oh, Kerry's here. And he brought coffee.
Hey,
you were so nice of you.
You were speeding. I got
No. Those escalators aren't fast enough.
So, Kerry, you're just down the hall from us.
Yeah, we're just we're down in the South Building. We actually have two spots
that
we're going to be hanging out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're just down the hall from us. You're going to do a 2 o'clock at a...
Yeah, we got a special surprise coming in here. We got the Lego Batman characters coming in today. So if anyone's in the area, come on by and check it out. We got Batman, Robin and Batgirl coming down for the show.
Oh, cool.
Is there a bat wife?
Sorry.
I was talking this morning. Is there a bat mother?
Well, there's Commissioner Gordon and the butler, and actually Commissioner Gordon's daughter Barbara is the Batgirl. So
maybe
that's a spoiler alert. I'm not quite sure.
Do you know what? I wonder if there's a Lego mother-in-law.
So I have a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, man.
How good are the new police cars, the four-wheel drive Taurus?
Oh, we're loving them. We love them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The guys just love driving them. We have a Charger right down below right now. We got the Explorers, the Tauruses, the Tahoes, all-wheel drive. beautiful cars, all ready for us. The workstations inside, all the features that we need to get our jobs done.
The reason I'm asking is we want to make a race car out of one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because when you guys are finished, right, we could buy them for like $5,000-$6,000.
Absolutely.
And they're four-wheel drive. They're turbocharged.
Yeah. Well, you know, the motors are pretty much stock. Okay. We have a few different varieties.
3.7.
3.6, 3.7, whatever's in there right now. And you know, they drive nice. They drive smooth, and everyone likes driving them.
Brian and I were figuring it out. It's just a perfect track car.
But just like the general public, I mean, we look around, we see more crossovers and trucks. I mean, the police forces are moving that way as well, are they not? I mean, more than just your plain old, you know, what do you call it, Galaxy 500.
Yeah, well, you know what, we have a full variety of vehicles. So we have the sedans, the Chargers and Tauruses, and then we've also got the Tahoes as well. Those are the kind of the three primary front line vehicles. We have also had the Ford Explorers as well, and we still have them on the road as well. And then we have them all in the either fully marked black and white vehicles. We have some subdued vehicles, some unmarked vehicles. So sometimes,
subdued vehicles.
Yeah, sometimes you may not see us until...
Those are the stealthy ones.
Yeah, exactly.
They come up with the lights and they go, yeah, you're not a cop. I don't see
anything. And the new light bars we have on them as well, they're so low profile and they're so bright and intense. And just one of those reminders, there's no way someone can't see our vehicles when their lights are on.
So you're on TV now. 401 Heavy Tow. I see.
Well, Heavy Rescue, Do you know what? They're going to be joining us here on Tuesday as well. So we're going to have some fun with them. And they're going to give us a little perspective as to what they see on the side of the road when they're filming us and the heavy wreckers that are trying to get these vehicles towed out of the way and the highways reopened.
Actually, maybe a good point to bring up now is, you know, they've changed the rules in the last little while about, you know, when you see an emergency vehicle, no matter what kind it is, even a tow truck, you're supposed to slow down or pull out of the way, correct?
Yeah, well, the emergency vehicles are classified as those police cars, fire trucks, ambulances, and so on, with their red lights flashing. But there's new provisions as well right now that include tow trucks with their amber lights flashing. So they may not be classified as an emergency vehicle, but you are required by law, just as you would an emergency vehicle, police, fire, ambulance, to move out of the way, slow down if there's a lane next to you to get out of the way.
I'm going to ask you, because someone yelled at me because they said, you're supposed to stop. When you see an emergency vehicle coming either from the opposite direction or behind you, like if you get out of the way so they can get by you, is that all you need to do?
Well,
are you supposed to actually pull over and stop?
Well, you should pull over. If you see them approaching, it's always best to pull over and stop if you can. If they're trying to get by you, move out of the way, let them go by. If they're stopping you, look for their direction as to where you should be stopping, either left or on the right side. But move to the right typically. That's the best place for you to go.
Okay, you want to stay with us for another segment? We're just going to take a quick break.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is the auto show version.
Yeah, really.
Dave's Corner Garage.
We're going to have to jump and pay some bills and wave to the people. Hello, everyone.
Okay, we got some texts
live
coming in.
The car show.
So if you want to ask your question, just text us at 905-567-5500 if you have a question for Kerry. I got a bunch of them for him, so we'll be right back.
I got a ticket I want to see if he can do something with. What are the chances?
A friend of mine once said, he said, okay, give me, I'll take care of it. He goes,
I don't know. Drop my name, it's increased penalty, I think. So.
All right. Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Okay, we're back for the auto show. My name's Dave Redinger. I'm with Alan Gelman and Kerry Schmidt from the local constabulary. Actually, no, you're not local, you're Ontario.
Provincial, OPP, come
respect.
On.
With respect, Police Sergeant Kerry Schmidt.
I always look up to him because I'm only 5'6".
And that's just dyslexic. I'm 6'5", so there you go.
You know, we're watching that program, Heavy Duty Towing.
Yeah, Heavy Rescue 401. Right?
And I was absolutely astounded how upset the officers were with rubberneckers.
You know, and we see it all the time on that last episode. There was a crash on the QEW going through Mississauga, and traffic was stopped on the westbound side, and it might as well have been stopped on the eastbound side, but there wasn't a single restriction there. Everyone was slowing down. They got their phones out. They're trying to take pictures. They're trying to see what's going on, and traffic backs up for miles, all the way through the city. The congestion that comes as a result of it should not be happening. And then we see secondary crashes as well, because people aren't paying attention. They're looking over and they don't see the car in front of them slowing down, and boom, now you got a road closure completely unnecessarily.
Right, it's a shame because, you know, someone's just got a flat tire and they pulled over to the side, and next thing you know, you've got a huge crash.
Absolutely.
And the first responder people have also been injured in a lot of cases, too.
And sometimes the secondary crashes are far more serious than the initial crash. When someone comes in to stop traffic, the consequences can be absolutely deadly. And there's no reason for that to be happening at all. We just need to continue to remind people, when you're driving, if you want to look over, that's for your passengers to do that. We don't want you with your phones. Just because you've waited in traffic now for 20 minutes and now you think you're entitled to take a picture.
It's your turn.
It's my turn to get for admission. Not at all. Just get through, hands on the wheel, eyes on the road, look where you're going, because you're responsible for that vehicle.
You know, some of the states' highways have these fences that you can't see the other side.
And we have some of them here as well in some locations. Sometimes they're not high enough, you know, depending on where they're at. And, you know, there's all kinds of different ways that you can try to hide the other sides of the road. But there's all kinds of ways we could do it. But really, if we can just get the drivers just to look where they're going, you know, sure, we can build a big wall, but that's not going to solve every problem as well. We're still going to have issues.
Now, one of the issues that I always thought was, you know, I lost my thought.
Well, you know, all right, well, let me fill in. Yeah. I think a lot of, though, is part of the social network as well. You know, people are big on Facebook and Instagram.
They all want to be the first to get their thing out.
Right. Now, question, if you're using your phone to take that picture, essentially you're breaking the law.
Absolutely. As soon as you put that phone in your hand, it's against the law.
Well, it's $1,000 fine.
Yeah, it's going to cost you $500 and...
Are you charging less than the others?
No, that's the $490 is the set fine right now. Provisions can go up to over $1,000.
Wow.
And in multiple offenses, you get increased penalties as well. Again, it's one of the leading causes of injuries and death on our highways, distraction.
Here's where it came up. The question I had is why some of the complaints are you take too long to clear the highway.
Well, wow. If we wouldn't have the crashes, like we're trying to clean up the messes that people have caused because of their misfortunes or their inadequacies, and they're not paying attention. So we are doing the best that we can. We got to get resources in place. When we have transport trucks involved, there could be heavy cleanup, heavy recovery. There's debris all over the highway. Then we're dealing with cleanup with fluids and things that make it slippery. The longer we have the highways closed, especially in winter when it's snowing and there's ice, then we got to work with the MTO to get the plows through there and the salters to make sure it's all cleaned up before we reopen the highways as well. And we have rapid clearance protocols in place. We have technology. We have our collision investigators that are ready to respond in a moment's notice to investigate these crashes, because that is our primary responsibility for public safety and high quality investigations of what happened.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there a law that you can't do more damage to the vehicle by trying to remove it? In other words, if the truck is bent and you're trying to move it, but by moving it you would cause more damage, so you have to be so careful to get the thing out of there.
Yeah, like there's hold harmless legislation that they're working on. I know the ministry has some work on that regard right now. Obviously, we need to get the highways open as quickly as possible. We're not going to cause more damage. We certainly don't want vehicles to be there unnecessarily as well.
Yes.
If you're ever involved in a collision, and very often people, they want to stop exactly where it happened so police can investigate it. But really, if your vehicles are still drivable, get off the highway as soon as you can. We'll come back. We'll see the damage. We can see what happens. But, we're going to talk to the witnesses. We're going to talk to you as the driver and any other drivers that were involved. Find out exactly what happened, but we don't want to do it on the road ourselves. So
the limit's $2,000 or something before we call the police?
Yeah, the $2,000, that's a combined damage for all involved vehicles. So if you crack your bumper and someone else's cracks theirs, $1,000 on both vehicles, combined $2,000, it is a reportable collision. You do need to report it to your local police service or collision reporting center, wherever that may be. Call 911 if you don't know, or call the OPP, and we'll give you directions as to where you need to go.
I always believe that once you know the guy's okay, hey, you okay, bud? Yeah. Give him a smack on the back of the head. What the hell do you think you're doing?
Well, we don't want more problems, because that sometimes causes more issues for us. But you are required by law to exchange information.
Alrighty. Kerry Schmidt, thanks so much. We'll come by and visit your stand later.
Perfect. Come on by. Looking forward to it.
Take us out, Al.
What about my ticket? We didn't get to talk about that.
Well, what are you charged with?
I'll take care of it.
About $200. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, Al.
All right, we are now with Norris McDonald. Used to be from the Toronto Star.
Well, I'm still with the Toronto Star, but not officially with the Toronto Star.
And the Toronto Star is presenting the show.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Toronto Star Wheels.ca. And we're delighted, of course, to be here. This is our third year being the presenting media sponsor.
Wow.
And hopefully this is going to continue for years to come.
Now, we have downstairs a bunch of Grand Prix cars, the original machines, and the stories of what happens. Gilles Villeneuve's cars here.
I'm going to say 50 years of Formula One in Canada, celebrating 2017. First race was in August 1967. I was there. Were you guys there?
No, not quite.
Actually, I was.
Well, I watched
Wietze's race.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because Epi Wietze's was in the third Lotus.
Yes.
Al Pease, the late Al Pease, a commercial artist from Toronto, was a great sports car racer here in Canada. His sponsor, Castrol, insisted that he had to be in the first Formula One race in Canada.
Where was that held? At Mosport?
At Mosport.
Yeah.
And the next year it was at Le Circuit, Mont Tremblant, in Quebec. Right. The Prime Minister of the day, Pierre Trudeau, attended. Very, very romantic. Came on an armed forces helicopter, landed right on the track.
Wow.
And he got out of the helicopter.
That wasn't
and
during
they
the
hand
race.
Him.
Not
no,
during
no.
the race, I hope.
And, but he waved the Canadian flag to start the race.
Oh, cool.
You know, absolutely.
Yeah,
came back it. Here. In any event, it's been permanently at on Île Notre-Dame in Montreal since 1978. And you know, we had, on Wednesday of this week, the 12 most important people, going back to Bob Hanna, who organized that first 1967
wow.
race, up to today, Francois Demontier, who is the president and promoter of Grand Prix de Canada. They were all here.
Well, also to tell you the story of the Grand Prix, of the drivers, and mm-hmm. And they sort of speak about what's going on.
Well, I was going to say, the history of Formula yeah. One racing in Canada is down there. All of the Canadians who have raced in yeah. Formula One, not that many, not like the Indy car
that's right.
Display that we had a year ago, mm-hmm. only about a dozen. And I have to tell you this because I've got to boast. It gave me an opportunity to use all of those pictures that I took back in 1967, you know, and I made sure that my name was prominently displayed.
I like that. Alan, go ahead.
Cool. Yeah. When can we expect it back at Mosport? What do you think?
Well, there's going to be a historic Formula One race at Mosport coming up in June.
Wow, I didn't know that.
At the Vintage Auto Racing Weekend. Yeah, yeah.
That'll be great.
As a matter of fact, it is. It's terrific. Because all these guys with money
yes.
have all these restored real Formula One cars, 71, 72, right up to 86. They dress exactly the way in the uniforms that the drivers who drove them. Their helmets are the same. So, my goodness, here's number 27 Ferrari. It looks like Gilles Villeneuve
yes.
is out there again. And here's Alan Jones in the
this is
in
from
the Williams.
The, you know, they run these in England. They're really big on the story.
Absolutely. And these and they're not parading around.
Yep.
These guys are racing those things.
Yep.
However, to
racing,
answer your
well,
question.
Well, to a degree. They yeah. don't want to damage these expensive
well,
cars.
Well, you'd be surprised.
They do.
But to answer your point, I do not believe that Formula One in its current form we'll ever go back to Mosport. The cars are too fast. It's too, they're too nimble. And I think Mosport, which is an FIA World Championship track, mm-hmm. I still think that they would have to do an awful lot of work to make it sufficiently safe to have the Formula One cars of today.
You know,
but
we were,
you never know.
We were chatting here at VIP night, as one of the fellows was saying, that they have sold out every weekend in the summer. Everything is sold out. So I don't even know if they had room for an F1 race.
Well, they don't, because, of course, they starting the May 24th weekend with the Speed Fest.
Yes.
And, of course, the headliner that weekend is the NASCAR Pinty Series. Mm-hmm. But then you have the Top Sports Car Championship in Canada coming in July, the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series,
which
comes every Labor Day weekend. And that is, the racing is fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, those guys, little rubbing and racing takes place there.
Yeah, I remember last year they had a big fight after the event.
Well, if I was going to say the two cars were grinding together down to the
Nemechek was one of the drivers.
Finish line,
yeah.
the young Nemechek, yeah. And when they got out of the cars, then they got into a fight. Yeah.
Yep.
And
if you're not rubbing, it ain't racing.
And that's what they say in NASCAR.
That's right.
They wear their heart on their bumper.
And, of course, that's diametrically opposite to the way it is in Formula One, because Formula One with the open
wheels,
you start doing that sort of stuff and you get yourself in
serious trouble. But there's that tape between Didier Pironi and Villeneuve where they go for two or three laps and they're banging each other.
Well, not to the extent, though, that they do in NASCAR. And it was more accidental bumps. It was Rene Arnoux.
Rene Arnoux. Oh,
that's
you're right.
Right.
In the Renault. And
that's
and
right at the French Grand Prix. And in fact, that was probably without a doubt one of the great races
yes.
of all time.
Yeah, I remember seeing.
Yeah, the excuses are they took the air off my wing, and that's how I lost control in the corner.
You know, it's so great that you guys are here.
Thank you.
And broadcasting live from the auto show, because
it's a great event.
Where else but Dave's Corner Garage should be, but at an auto show.
Exactly.
You know what's like about this? It's the people coming with the children.
Mm.
It's a great way to get out of the weather. And today is, what a day. It's 11 degrees this afternoon.
Well, the other thing is, look, it's only a couple of minutes before 11 o'clock in the morning. Take a look out there.
The
there's
yeah.
a sea of people here already. And remember, we're just in the north building here. You got the South Building. You have the underground where the Formula One exhibit is, along with the Auto Exotica. Have you seen some of those cars down there?
Oh, we saw that
Bugatti and the Bentley.
Even I can't afford some of that stuff. Oh.
And of course, over in the Toronto Star booth, you have that Aston Martin Red Bull 001 hypercar. That when it goes into production will be the fastest production car on the planet.
And it's what, $3 million or something?
$3.5 million
And by the way,
they're already sold.
They're sold out. Yes. You can't even order one if you want one.
I'm shy about $3 million.
Actually, next week, Norris, we'll be on together.
That's right. Alan, you and I, while David is sunning himself.
Are you kidding? I'm going to be painting and cutting grass. All righty. It's Dave's Corner Garage. We're going to be signing off here at the Auto Show. Come on down. It is an absolutely gorgeous place to be. Bring your family. Get rid of the kids over at the Volkswagen exhibit. Go ahead, Alan.
Family Day Monday. Yes. That's the time to come.
That's right. And we will be here live then, too.
Yeah, we're doing our town hall. We'll be in the same spot or a little bit closer to it. And we can come and visit, ask questions. And we've got a lot of stuff.
And lots of free stuff.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for joining us. We're live at the Canadian National International Auto Show, and we'll be back on Monday.
Yeah, bring your checkbook. Keep the shiny side up or the greasy side down. We'll see you back here next week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.